this is Lisa from Geek Pop. You can listen to us on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, and our website, geekpoppodcast.wordpress.com. Don't forget to like and share us on Facebook and give us a rating on iTunes. Pop in your geek every week.
Good. Okay. Excuse me. Pardon me. All right. Just a quick tidbit. I don't know if you guys are fans of, like, The Karate Kid, or I remember I've said repeatedly that I like Jumper, the movie Jumper, even though people are like, yeah, I'm fucking hating Christensen.
Anakin Mace Windu spin-off.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. The alternate universe version.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Where they learn, like, Nightcrawler's power.
They made sequel series to both of these shows exclusively on YouTube. And they were blocked behind the YouTube's, like, I don't know. I don't think I know anyone that pays for YouTube.
Premium?
YouTube Red, you mean? I was going to get the free version, like, you know, like the, not the free, well, the free trial. I was going to get it one of these. I'll do it when next season comes out of The Karate Kid or whatnot, and then I'll just binge watch everything and then be done with it. But
later this year, you'll be able to watch them, and because the premium service is going free, you're going to be watching these shows with commercials, but who gives a shit?
I see commercials on YouTube all the time. Anyways,
right.
So I guess I can't skip through the 5 seconds.
Like, I'm not really shitting on anyone that has YouTube Premium. I don't.
Isn't it called YouTube Red?
It was.
Is that what it was?
It used to be called YouTube Red. Then they changed it to YouTube Premium.
Okay.
And now they're changing
it. I thought they changed it from Red a long time ago, no? Because
I want to say like a year ago.
Because it sounded like RedTube. Oh, it was only a year ago?
I think so.
It wasn't longer. That.
I think YouTube Red was only around like 2-3 years only at most.
Maybe Taylor Swift sued them or something.
Taylor Swift. There's a porn site called Red. RedTube.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I was like, oh. YouTube Red. That doesn't sound like the best idea,
that's true,
team.
RedTube.
Yeah. Anyway, but they have other shows, but the two that I'm most interested in seeing was all of Karate Kid, which was really
Cobra
good.
Kai.
Cobra Kai.
Calling it Cobra Kai.
It's Cobra Kai, but it's a sequel series from The Karate Kid.
It's so good.
I've only seen the first, like, was they had yeah, the first two the episodes, first
but still.
But they're really entertaining.
Yeah.
Like, I was shocked. I'm like, this is on YouTube?
Well, I was really wary about it, considering that, you know, they're continuing
on YouTube.
This, like, you know, without the late Pat Morita, who, you know, obviously he's not around anymore, but it still didn't feel right without him. But then, like, once I saw that first, because they put out the first episode for free, I think, to entice
two,
people to
yeah, yeah,
subscribe.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, damn, this is,
yeah.
Like, the tone of it, is this right?
Yeah,
you know, like,
it's good.
Yeah.
They make you actually care about the Johnny character, which is like this wash up that, like, that's what he had.
And they're also kind of it's a little tongue in cheek. Like, the whole, like, oh my God, it's Johnny, I guess, is the.
Johnny.
Yeah, he's the villain, or the former villain, I guess.
He's still the villain. He's not very good.
Sure, yeah.
Character.
But I mean, that whole, like, car montage sequence in the first episode, it's like, dude, this is total. Like, they know this is a sequel to a cheesy 80s thing.
Yeah.
And they're just, like, embracing the cheesiness while also treating it with, like,
respect. Yeah. It's not, like, a total, like, laugh.
It's not
at
a spoof,
me.
But it's, like, a.
Yeah.
In honor of, you know.
Because I think the acting is pretty solid. There's a part where he sees. You know, Daniel again, and he's just kind of shaken from that. Doesn't want to take his little bonsai tree, which is a trickle down. Anyway, that and then the Jumper series, I think it's called Impulse, will be free, I think, later on this year. So I think it's pretty cool.
That is neat.
It wasn't a big, big article, but I thought I'd throw it out there. By the way. Welcome to Geek Pop. Yeah, I'm Big Chris.
Lisa.
Brian. And Enrique.
That's us. We're Geek Pop. And we're about to pop your geek with geeky information of stuff.
Uh-huh.
That's all.
Yeah, that's all you have. Okay.
YouTube.
They're just abolishing their paid service.
No, they're still gonna have a paid service that they're gonna have.
It's just those two shows will become free.
I think just all their shows are going
to
become available, but not at one. I mean, they could offer like just like 4 episodes for free or something.
Well, they already do kind of like that. Like they every once in a while will have like one of the you know, shows specifically will just release one episode for free. So I don't know that. I think it means all of them will be free. I'm not sure.
There might be like a time on that though, like. The first month it's out, you know, if you have premium, you get it, and you don't have the commercials in it.
Something
I don't
like that. Because they said that it's going to be at different times, so I don't know if it's going to be like, here it all is, go get it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of cool. Like, in this kind of, I know the quality of Cobra Kai was good, and I saw
Cobra Kai was really good.
Impulse, like the first episode of Impulse, was like, this is interesting, and the quality is pretty good.
Now, Impulse is in the Jumper verse, I guess. Like, is it tied to the movie? Or it's is it just in a the new universe. Adaptation in universe?
It's just okay. in the universe. I don't know.
I don't even know if it's an adaptation at all. Is it original?
The movie? Jumper. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's based on a series of books.
Okay.
So, yeah. I haven't read them. Maybe I should. I mean, I can't imagine they're that big of a read, right? I don't know. Anyway, YouTube Red. Nope. YouTube Premium. Going to be free later this year? Sweet. I didn't check the date. Shit. We'll just say later this year.
Yeah. Wow. A lot more people.
I think it was September. Check it out.
24th. That's right. September 24th. Thank you. Wow. Just needed
a little kickstart.
Wait, so, sorry, I wasn't fully paying attention. You were saying
like. What else do you want to know? God damn it.
No, but I mean like.
It's free this year.
But does that mean like there's still going to be a paid service and there's going to be like other.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, because I'm a little curious because those are like two of their big tent poles, I figure,
What's
for
that?
The paid service.
Oh, series? Yeah. I just don't think that people are paying what they want them to pay.
Sure. But I mean. They're going to have less incentive to keep paying, I guess, after they make those two shows free.
Again, I mean, but still, they're making money with the ad revenue from that,
true.
Too.
Yeah.
So it's
as much as everything on YouTube is free, they're making money.
That's a really
off
good point.
Us. They're making money off the advertising.
So they're probably trying to see.
They probably make more money off of the ads they schleck than they do getting service.
That's probably a very good point. Yeah.
I don't know their numbers. Otherwise, it would be easier to make this decision.
Useless
or not.
Lisa, as we call her, doesn't have somebody else, some other company's numbers.
But I mean, considering
way to,
you know,
way to top out on that.
You're welcome.
They throw some undisclosed small percentage of their ad revenue to YouTube creators when they have a really popular channel, and some granted. Just really just the top people on YouTube are able to make a living off of it, but some people get rich off of YouTube. So YouTube's got to be raking in money just from the ad revenue alone.
I don't know that they get rich off of YouTube. I think they get rich off the
with
people
YouTube.
That pay for their YouTube channel. Like I know that one of the highest paying people is that kid, but he gets paid from like outside.
What,
no,
kid?
The kid who does the toys.
Oh, that kid. Yeah. The kid, the toy review.
Right, so he gets paid by outside companies as well as free toys, and he's, I think he's clearing over $1 million a year or something like that.
Damn.
Yeah, just for opening fucking toys and playing with them.
Yeah, but even then.
But it's not YouTube paying him, or it's not his, he's getting money from the commercials.
No, but he does get a cut from the advertising used on his videos.
Yeah, sure. I used to get a little cut from YouTube, too. I mean, I don't have a super popular YouTube channel, but, like, I got enough to a point where they let me get a little bit of revenue back, and, I made, made a few bucks. But
really?
But still, yeah, they'll give you the money. Like, YouTube will give you the money,
what did
a small amount from the...
What were you putting out?
Just my violin videos and stuff like that, yeah.
But I mean, it's like, was Lisa buttering bread, or... I don't know why I thought...
Well, just
that.
A few of mine got really really took off, I did one for the Halo theme and a Star Wars medley that really took off, and like at some point they emailed me, do you want to sign up for our, it's like,
do you want money?
Sure.
You should continue with that.
He does.
Yeah, I do.
No, but
then.
Go to places and do it.
Like where?
You're doing it all in your room, right?
Are you saying do something like Lindsey Sterling does? Or
who's Lindsey Sterling? I don't know.
The violin player who also dances.
No, don't dance.
Well, yeah, but she's like a...
That's dumb.
But she does. She
okay,
does.
You can do that too, Brian.
I don't know who she is.
Just wear a full body leotard.
I think I know who you're talking about. She did
a
Legend of Zelda
one,
right?
We got this.
Yeah. She also was in that show, I forget what it's called, and she got third place or something like that.
Yeah, it's funny.
One of those talent shows. I can't remember the name of it. Think You Got Talent, maybe. I'm not sure.
Sure.
America's Got Talent. There you go. Thank you.
I mean, I don't know. I think it'd be fun.
Sure. I just don't. I don't know. I have a.
That's me.
Yeah, that's you.
That's you.
Yeah. We are not even touching that part. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, keep going.
All right.
So you gotta let's
do
jump right into stories, right?
Yes. Let's jump on in.
Yeah, because we got some big. Because
it's not a big week at all. Just got a couple little things.
It's a huge week, and I almost feel kind of strange jumping into this story because I feel like by the time listeners are hearing this, there's probably going to be much further developments on this. But
depends on how fast we can get this out.
Sure, I guess so. But there's there was a lot of news that dropped over this last week, and also with D23 coming up this weekend, I'm sure there'll be further developments. But in the meantime, while we're recording this, there was a bombshell with. Disney and Sony's partnership on Spider-Man.
Some really good memes, too, but go ahead.
Yeah, actually, I mean, as much as it made a lot of people angry and sad.
What's the news?
Oh, yeah. Well, all right. So basically, the scuttlebutt seems to be that Disney and Sony's Sony ended up with a standoff on their partnership on Spider-Man, and although the negotiations seem to still be ongoing to some degree, all indications at the moment seem to be that they reached an impasse and Sony will no longer be partnering with Disney and Kevin Feige will no longer be producing future Spider-Man movies, which basically effectively means that Spider-Man is no longer part of the MCU.
So Feige's out anyway.
Yeah.
Another source cited like he was going to be done producing the Spider-Man movies anyway because
right.
he has the Fantastic Four and the X-Men now and some other stuff coming that he has more of it has his attention.
He's a very, very, very busy man.
He is.
Which is apparently a part of the factor into this whole
equation. He still would have had a part in the movies, but not, he had the first two.
And also, to be fair, like, I think it's important to note he's had a hand in films that he hasn't even been credited for as well. Like,
sure.
Especially with Sony, but basically, and we're still figuring out all the little details of this, but basically as of a couple days ago, the news broke, presumably the talk seems to be that it may have come out from Disney's side to pressure Sony, but, that this partnership, faltered, but at the same time, Sony put out a statement, just yesterday, I believe on Twitter, basically, I mean, Sony had to do some damage control because, as you could tell from what was trending on Twitter and what was exploding all over social media, everyone was pissed at Sony, and understandably so.
Understandably so.
Even their stocks are going down like crazy.
Oh yeah, and everyone's just like, "What the fuck, Sony?" It's like, you know, like, all the memes that came out of it were
Pretty cathartic. Yeah, the Eric Andre one was my favorite.
he's shooting
his co-host, and it's like,
what
you
are
know.
You doing, Disney?
Yeah, Marvel, exactly. Why would Marvel do this?
Why would Marvel do this? I mean, it's coming out that basically they wanted half.
And so basically,
the current Disney wanted half of what
profits
of the profits.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Disney wasn't paying anything before, so they did a negotiation where they got to use Spider-Man in their movies, and Sony was still putting up the money to do the producing and the movies and whatnot, and they agreed to help out develop the character kind of, and arguably, look, the Spider-Man wouldn't be Spider-Man. If Disney and Feige didn't, more Feige, but, you know, Feige
sure.
and Disney, if he didn't come along, like
sure.
we would have more amazing Spider-Man, probably.
Well, maybe.
And frankly,
probably.
You know, that deal first started happening because Sony was suffering with the Spider-Man franchise.
Right.
Amazing Spider-Man 2 sucked balls and
yeah.
it was terrible and nobody saw it.
And even the revamp of Spider-Man, which was... You know, lukewarm. I was like, okay,
yeah,
another Spider-Man.
And then over under Disney, everything Feige was touching was turning into gold, including things that people didn't know anything about, like, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, for example.
Yeah.
You know, so at that time, and also Sony was really suffering from the massive hack that had just happened. So Sony was in a bad place
right.
when this deal first started happening. And from what I understand, the way the deal had been originally set up, Marvel was getting 5% of the profits directly from the film, but all the profits from the merchandising.
Oh, I didn't read that. I didn't hear about that.
But. Yeah, that's apparently how it was originally set up, and part of Sony's statement.
I find that really hard to believe. All of the from the merchandising, that's where the money's at.
Yeah, well.
I wonder if they might have already had some tie to that already, just with the license in general.
I don't think so. Sony owns it, so anything off of what they did in the movies was 100% Sony.
But in any case, Sony did come out with a statement, largely to do some damage control because social media was basically all pointing their fingers at Sony. And Sony basically characterized it that part of this was their disappointment. Basically, they made it sound like they were disappointed that Disney didn't want to negotiate with a much more reasonable, like, because Disney was asking for too much and that Kevin Feige was stretched too thin with all the projects that he's involved with. And they basically put out a statement that they're disappointed that things didn't fall through, but that they're open to see, you know, what could be renegotiated in the future. And so it sounds like things are still in motion. It sounds like this leak might have actually been part of those negotiations in a way.
So hopefully they get back to the table. One of the funnier headlines I saw just right before we came in here was like, "Goodbye, Iron Daddy. Hello, Trash Uncle Venom," or something, which tickled me to no end. I know they got an inflated sense of, like, look, Spider-Verse won an Oscar.
Yeah, Spider-Verse
was
a
commercially very contained thing.
Yeah, commercially and critically hugely successful, and also Venom, even if it wasn't critically successful, made a lot of money.
But they didn't listen. I don't think they listened to a lot of the fans when the people were scratching their head. Like, even the people that went and saw it and paid the money, a lot of them like, what? I don't. okay.
Yeah.
It's like no one was like, you got to see Venom. Nobody. No. Nobody I know was like, you got to see it. Sure. I mean, I know Enrique was like, yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
But no one's like, I mean, no one's is on its nuts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so
I
don't know where they were, but
where they came away from going like, we're going to make it. Well, we kept this.
An interesting thing that you pointed out was that they were saying that Kevin Feige is spread too thin.
Yeah.
So it sounds like they have no trust in it without him.
I don't.
I don't have any.
Yeah.
I mean, they did some things.
And obviously, Feige had no hand in Spider-Verse, but that was. You know,
exactly. Yeah. And it's like, well, if we're losing him
mm-hmm.
and Spider-Verse worked and we're making buckets off of Venom and whatever,
that's sure. what they
maybe
there.
Just go back to this.
Yeah. And to be fair, like, actually, my other friend Lisa, who works for Sony, she had a very astute Facebook post a few hours back that I was where she just kind of drove home like, look, Sony owns the film rights. They've mm-hmm. owned the film rights since 1999.
Yep.
Marvel doesn't really have a bargaining chip in that sense. Like, mm-hmm. it's really up to them what they want to do with their film rights. And obviously, everyone wants to see them partner with Disney further and have Spider-Man continue to be a part of the MCU. But at the same time, it's not something that, you know, if they see that they could still ways that they don't necessarily they don't, my point being, they don't need Marvel necessarily to be able to
put
out profitable. Successful films.
Yeah.
And but it's just, I think it's just really disappointing given that you know, the popularity of Tom Holland's Spider-Man and his involvement in the MCU, and not to mention just Far From Home was so damn good.
I'm going to back it up a little bit.
Yeah.
They didn't have to be part of it. He is part of the MCU. His Spider-Man is ingrained in the MCU mm-hmm. universe.
Yes.
So in my eyes, they'd have to almost start completely new, because even the last movie ended with like Skrulls in Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So, spoiler. Mm. So it's like you can't erase a lot of the stuff that they did, and pretend it didn't happen.
It is a curious thing, given that Tom Holland is still contractually obligated to do two more Spider-Man films, but they may not be MCU.
I don't know why. Like, they would, they can make Spider-Man profitable Spider-Man films. Obviously. This is the biggest movie Sony's ever had. It's, you know, like, what are they thinking?
Far From Home really, really.
I mean, even half of, like, if they want to take, they could. I'm sure they can bank something out at the half mark. But these are clearly making them money. Like, what are they thinking? And personally, I don't want to see a Spider-Man movie that's on the MCU now that I've seen the good shit.
Well,
like, why would I take a step back?
Well, also, it just makes us really, like, I think all the potential that we saw in the future of this partnership.
They hung a lot on him.
Yeah, and
he's future Tony Stark.
I really want to see more of him, and also someday I want to see an MCU Miles Morales. If this deal doesn't happen, we may not see that for God knows how long.
Well, we'll probably see Miles Morales, but we'll have some kind of weird Sony version where they're
exactly.
like, you know, there's it hurts the brain. To know that Sony's thinking like of stuff that like they're gonna try and put in, and make it work. I can't even say it hurts my brain.
But to be fair, there's a lot of finger pointing at Sony, and I think there's a factor of both companies and frankly their greed mm-hmm.
It's coming down to greed.
To
yeah. So let's put this right out there. It's obviously about money. So
yes,
you got to get past that
all
part.
The bottom line,
to call them greedy or whatnot. That's what they're in the business doing, making money.
It's more greed because, at least I see it more as greed, because Disney kind of owns the majority of everything.
Yeah, which is
then they're trying to take a bigger swipe at this. Granted,
what does that mean? They're in the business to make money.
Absolutely, and they're making money with the deal that they have.
Sure,
it's not like they're hurting for money without it.
But that part's irrelevant. They're in the business to make money. So even
and
if
I understand
sure.
them wanting
a lot.
I understand them wanting more money. I get that. But it sounds like Sony's putting up all the money. Sony's taking.
They were.
Yeah. I don't know in the New Deal if Disney was taking on some of that.
No, that's part of the part of the New Deal was that they're going to hammer out Disney would pay for half the stuff too. Mm-hmm. That way they'd get some of the benefits, but they would also incorporate Spider-Verse and Venom-verse. Like, they give them their expertise and they incorporate them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
For me, that's a win-win. Like, you tell me Venom, like, is actually being creatively in-universe, like, I give that a second chance. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'd give it a first chance. I didn't give the Venom movie a chance because I'm like,
Yeah.
He's not even tied to Spider-Man. Like, come on.
And it's hard to say because, obviously, you know, Sony on its own with the Spider-Man property has put out incredible stuff, like Into the Spider-Verse. And also, shit, like, Amazing Spider-Man 2. So it's like...
Spider-Man 3.
Yeah. Well...
But still, I understand some people don't like it, but you could definitely make the argument because they had to work with Spider-Man. He has a large universe.
Yeah.
The other part that it's heartbreaking because it cuts off a lot of stuff to the MCU.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff, man.
Yeah.
I was looking at some of the other points. The heartbreak for Happy and Aunt May, they'll probably never.
Yeah.
All the great spider villains that could have came to the MCU are now going to be off limits. The Skrull cliffhanger, never ever going to get resolved. No Iron Spider. I can live without that.
Well, we got a lot of Iron Spider.
Yeah, I don't think he needs that suit anymore.
Yeah.
Things like that.
I'm actually kind of glad he ditched it.
No, J. Jonah's in the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
Fuck.
My God.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. They just gave it to him. So, like, points like that is very, very... it sucks. I'm just mad.
And look, obviously, Sony knows that they can make money with the Spider-Man property without the help of Disney, without the help of Marvel. But in the eyes of a lot of the fans who have really come on board with what they've been doing in this partnership, it's just it's understandable the fan anger right now because they're like, oh my God, you guys are making gold together. Why fuck this up?
Exactly. Yeah. Rock the boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
All I know is I can't do another Spider-Man reboot. No. I can't.
Could you imagine? I mean, considering that Tom Holland is still contractually obligated, like, there's a lot of speculation. Like, what are they going to try to do? Like, try to fold him into a side verse with Venom and stuff? And, like, I could totally see them doing, like, a Spider-Man v. Venom Dawn of Carnage.
Stop.
Dawn of Carnage.
I mean, because you know they're moving forward with Carnage and, you know, we just talked last week or the week before about Andy Serkis. He's taking, you know, taking that film forward.
Maximum Carnage could be a thing, but that worked really good in the, well, I don't know about really good, but it worked fun in the comics because the MCU was there.
Yeah.
You know, fuck, man. Like, this is really, this sucks. This really sucks. We have the ultimate version of Spider-Man and they're just like, no, we're gonna do our own thing. We know better than you.
Well, for what it's worth, it might still just be you know, on the negotiating table right now.
I feel like it's just in negotiations, and this is tactics on both sides.
Yeah, going public with this would very well be a Disney tactic right now.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, like there was an IO9 report, I think the day after this news broke, that said that claimed that some of this hang-up might be over a simple thing like a producer credit. It's just that they might still just be hammering this out, and they're just like, they were so frustrated, they just put this out there in public to get people angry at Sony.
Sony, that was a pretty finite, you know, statement.
Yeah.
They tagged at the end to give you a glimmer of hope, like, but, you know, we hope we can go back to the negotiating table.
Yeah.
Or we hope we can negotiate this at a later time. Something to that effect.
Sure.
Which just doesn't make it okay. It hurts even more. I did see someone else going like, yeah, they'll make a, what was it, Night Monkey movie instead?
Oh, yeah, with Palm. Because they could totally do Holland or something.
Palm Holland, right. Because, they just don't use a Spider-Man name. And he got called Night Monkey in the last movie.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about, like, how far could they take that generic Spider-Man? Like, maybe
nobody calls him Peter Parker exactly.
He just makes a new spider identity, and they're like, "Hey,
Arachna dude,
yeah, Arachna man,
the human spider,
whatever." And they just go
like Bruce Campbell back,
and they go on with like it never happened, but they never call him by Peter again.
Yeah. I just can't help but feel sorry for Tom Holland too, and under all this, because you know this was a dream come true for him to finally, you know, be playing Spider-Man. And he's gone on record saying I will play this character until I can't walk anymore, like as long as they're willing to. And he's in this tug of war between these two studios right now, without any idea exactly what his
future
will
be. I'm curious how he feels about this whole thing. He has been quiet though, right?
Yeah,
I think he's got to be quiet.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, yeah,
I think they may have even asked him to be quiet on it. You know,
they
might take his fucking
which is
odd
because he's a spoiler man.
Exactly, notoriously
spoilers. It's all been figured out.
I think he made one post on Instagram, but he got a new car or something like that.
Oh, that's nice.
And that's cool. It. Yeah. So I don't know who actually posted that. Like,
so he's still working.
Sure.
It sucks.
Look, I mean, you know, I'm sure he's been very successful off of these films, and you know, but still, it's like, I would love to see so much more with him, and especially after, like, me personally, like, you guys know, I wasn't the biggest fan of Homecoming, but Far From Home was so good, and it's like this the mm-hmm. potential. It's set up perfectly for so much more, and not to mention that cliffhanger ending. Like, oh my god,
they're both really good movies with really good characters.
Yeah,
I mean, solid. Say what you will. The reintroduction the introduction of the Scorpion and the Vulture. I'm like, even the lower tier, the Shocker and the Thinker. Yeah. Like, really cool stuff.
And they're really close to actually having a Sinister Six in there. Yeah. They're really close.
Yeah. And his MCU appearances, lest we forget, this first one was Civil War, and he was so great in Civil War. And Avengers. And
it's tough. This is a tough one to not cry about, but we'll just have to see how it goes. Yeah. Hopefully, we can get this episode out pretty quick. That way,
yeah, I'm a little curious.
Everything's all fine.
Because I wanted to talk about D23 too, but it's all speculation. Besides one topic we have later on.
But I am very curious about, because I'll be at D23 for the film presentation this Saturday. I'm just curious if they're going to mention.
Did you get into the theme park?
No. Oh yeah. Well, for the
the theme park panel.
Oh no, because that's Sunday. Because I only have a Saturday badge, but I will be in the theme park on Sundays.
Okay.
So there you go.
Yeah. That's not the same.
It's a theme park.
We'll get there to the D23 area.
So we got some rather unexpected, maybe awesome news. The Matrix is coming back. There is a fourth one in the works with Lana Wachowski.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss reprising their roles.
Yeah.
That's
this is a doozy. The funny thing is, this dropped the same time as the Spider-Man news, and I feel like it got glossed over because of all the Spider-Man anger.
I think so. It's
weird.
Unexpected.
Maybe? Sure.
I'm
surprised, but at the same time going, yeah, I kind of expected this with the resurgence of Keanu Reeves.
Really?
Part of
really
the
big. Yeah. Like, well, plus of all the times, like, I would think, yeah, this would probably be a good time because he's right now really popular.
Well, also,
if ever a time to bring this series back.
At the same time, I want to say the Wachowskis have time and time, like here and there, kind of hinted that they're open to the idea of re-exploring the story. The curious thing is only Lana Wachowski writing and directing, but at the same time, like, hell, with the Wachowski at the helm and with Neo and Trinity back, I'm very intrigued.
They've got the Wachowskis together have big grand ideas.
Yeah.
So it's kind of disappointing that it's just one of them, but I'll take what I can get.
I mean, you don't know if that's the better of the two.
I kind of feel like it's the better of the two with no reason whatsoever other than I feel like it's the better of the two.
I'm just trying to make you feel better. Maybe she's like the one that's
the real idea person. Yeah. She could be.
I
want to
say Lana's
sure.
the one who's been the most vocal about the franchise in general.
Yeah.
So it's like maybe the more.
Lana's the one I definitely like. I can pick, like, if you gave me a lineup of everybody and had both of them in there, I'd pick Lana out in a second and be like, that's Lana.
Right.
She seems cool.
Yeah.
Also, but bear in mind, they're reprising, Keanu Reeves and Carrie-Anne Moss are reprising their roles as Neo and Trinity. And minor spoilers for Revolutions. Yes, they're dead. So
no, they're not. They're something.
Neo, I can understand be coming back because, like, there's a big glow on him.
Yeah,
going
but
back
he loves
and
he loves
Trinity. But
Trinity
got impaled in the real world.
It's okay. They'll make it work.
But you're right. The architect, like, as revealed to Neo, he's like the sixth iteration of the One.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they could easily write some sort of thing where the One has the seventh coming.
He brought back everything like the way it was before. I don't know.
Or this could be a case of maybe Lana Wachowski realized, a lot of people don't think that much about our sequels. Maybe this will be an alternate Matrix 2.
I doubt that very much.
I don't think that. Yeah.
So there's two ways this is going to swing. Have all been in the Matrix.
I feel like this is going to. Okay, so the two ways it's going to swing
is
they save the machine, save the Trinity.
Yeah.
The second is that Trinity is just a construct in the Matrix. Her complete consciousness is copied.
Sure. That second one, I feel like it's being real. I don't see them saving her because, like, she got impaled quite badly.
There was a lot of
rebar. A lot of nanotechnology. Like, they have fucking...
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that these
especially in this universe,
they're harvesting humans.
They obviously know the human... I don't know. I don't think it's that crazy.
Or they bring her back or they just reconstruct her within the Matrix like a Smith-like character.
Exactly. It's entirely possible they won't be back in the real world.
I'll see that a little bit better, yes. The reconstruction I could see a little bit better, especially because Neo, the One, would reconstruct her. I would see that.
They could very well just be programs this time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think Neo is. I think they left that open in the last movie. They're like, they haven't returned Neo's body. Like,
yeah, because they're doing shit to him.
Right.
They're making him they're turning him into a Terminator, and then he comes back in and he's a new Mr. Smith. I got it.
This could be like a transcendence type of thing where they've lost their bodies but they're only in the Matrix.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, there's potential there.
I think there's a lot of potential with it. I'm excited, yet just because most people don't care for the sequels.
Sure.
That it's just like, oh, maybe it'll be disappointing. And I know.
I've always liked Reloaded, but I hate Revolution.
I'm pretty indifferent towards the whole
franchise. They've got good scenes with it. And the Wachowskis, like, I like their ideas. Yeah. I don't always like. I feel like they don't always stick their landing.
Sure.
So it's like it's one of those things like, oh, this is gonna be so cool, but I'm probably not gonna like it. But I hope to like it. And if you've got Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss coming back, like that to me signals that there's something good here.
Also, the other big question.
Really?
Lawrence
Fishburne? It does.
Morpheus?
Well, I mean, if you're bringing Carrie Ann Moss back, why not bring him?
Unless they want to keep that as a secret and just like.
They could.
Or he'll be like a minimal role, but our minds will be blown. Like, oh, Morpheus, he's back.
Yeah. I mean, or they could just be kind of reprising their roles as handing this off to the next Matrix generation.
The one.
Neo is
there
like,
is a theory
hey,
that
the
like
thing.
The Merovingian and
girlfriend
what's
or
her name? Oh my
Trinity
goodness.
I know the actress but I can't
Monica Bellucci played the what was her character
Merovingian's girlfriend
wife.
But I've heard
the
I've
wife
heard, yeah I've heard the theories that you know that he and she are from a previous iteration of the Matrix, and he was a previous one or something, and like,
oh, that's
like,
cool.
Like maybe Neo and Trinity will not exactly be Neo and Trinity, but to a future, the one be kind of like programs, you know, that sort of been fucking around in the Matrix. So
I think they'd be hard pressed to restart that the one shit, but that's just me.
Yeah. I'm a little hard pressed on that too, because like I thought that was the whole point of the end of the last one, was the cycle was technically broken.
Right.
Because
but
of Smith,
it?
Basically.
God, I don't
that's
care.
Was
also,
it?
Don't care.
Hugo Weaving, they could always bring him back. He's still around. And
you can Smith it up.
Yeah,
they could.
I mean, it would be still a strange.
Or they
showing.
Go back in time and kill Neo as a child.
It would be a little.
Damn
strange.
It's a Terminator again.
It will be a little strange showing Smith having age, given that he's a program. But they could always de-age. You know, like there's possibilities.
Or could they just not go that well?
Well, shut up. No.
I don't know. I mean,
it will be fine. No.
It's still, I mean, it's a little strange to come back to this well so long after the fact. This is after the big 20th anniversary, you know, re-release of The Matrix that's going on right now. So it's like, I don't know.
A lot of movies that are doing it, so why not them, right?
Sure. But I mean, I feel like there's always potential in that universe. And
I think there was
Revolutions. Like, there's a part of me just wanting to go like, you know what? Maybe end it on a better note. Maybe this could be something great. Yep. So I'm curious. It could be shit.
Mm-hmm.
It could be another Revolutions where it's
it definitely has your it definitely has our curiosity.
Yeah, I think maybe understand that a lot of people loved the Matrix for everything that that happened in the Matrix. You know, keep things in the Matrix, not so much this.
The real
post-apocalyptic
world.
Real world where everyone's just wearing burlap sacks and
convoluted and.
Yeah,
a little more focused.
Sure. I mean, that was most of my issue with the ending of Revolutions. It's like there was no hardcore answers to anything. It was all like, you know, Neo came back to the Oracle. It's like, I need some answers. Well, you know, you had to believe. Like,
that was
cool.
Kind of in the whole thing because you know you had to hear you weren't the hero to become the hero.
Sure. It just felt like just a pretentious kind of. Hoity-toity storytelling towards the end there, and we just like seeing cool kung fu and
yes, it's got amazing action scenes.
Yeah,
just not good story.
Yeah, the truck chase in Reloaded, like that was some good action. Like that's what I'm excited to see with some solid sci-fi action. And The Matrix was so good. Like I still go back and watch the original Matrix every now and then, and so good.
I mean, I think that's the strongest point of the entire series.
Oh, by far,
is that they have some cool visuals.
Yeah.
That's why I have that. I'm not a Matrix fan.
Really?
All right. Yeah, not at all.
Still, we'll see. I mean, either way, this story got a little buried by the whole Spider-Man debacle, but...
You know, on our side anyway, I think it's got more traction than the Spider-Man thing.
Oh, yeah?
Cool.
I checked, which was yesterday.
But still, I mean, there's obviously plenty of people giving the sentiment of like, ugh, really, The Matrix again? But
I see
a
lot
of people are kind of curious. You know,
I, so. Yeah, I... I mean, at first I was like, oh man, and then I was like,
I think it could have worked better as a prequel.
Maybe. It could be.
Maybe it will be.
Yeah. It's
all cyclical.
The Matrix is trending harder than Spider-Man on ours.
Sweet. And look, Keanu's... Enrique, you're absolutely right. This is now effectively part of the Keanu sans. And so
yep.
I'm all for it.
Well, I'm sure this has been long into... They've probably been dealing with this for a while.
Yeah. Because, yeah. Before like, even Wachowski's sort of hinted at the idea of re-exploring this universe. So I think this has been probably in the works for a very long time.
Yeah. It's just the perfect timing, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keanu's right now getting all-time high. Why not, right?
Yeah. And he's breathtaking.
Yes.
No, you're breathtaking.
You're breathtaking.
All right. Well, I guess I'll move us on from the breathtakingness of The Matrix.
Goodbye, everybody. Heart of a lion.
Fire inside me blaze like a siren. The following contains spoilers for The Boys. If you feel spoiler-free, skip ahead to 56 minutes and 12 seconds. Time is expiring. Blood, sweat, and tears. I conquered
my fears. I'm ready to fly now. We're going to talk about The Boys. Amazon released a little itty-bitty show that they just did a little marketing for. Not really. They did a lot of marketing for it.
We participated.
Yeah, we did.
He was talking to Pachuk, and he was like...
I think we've hyped it quite a bit.
It was someone. I don't remember who was talking about, but they're like, oh my God, in the first episode, oh, wait, did you even say what it was?
The Boys.
Okay.
The Boys.
Yeah. They were like, oh my God, that first episode, you and Lisa were there. I'm like, I know, right?
Oh yeah, in that scene, yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, they used this thing in the marketing too.
Yeah, the activation takes place.
It's the last scene of the first episode, I think, right?
Yeah. Or not the comic book store, the electronic store that Huey works at.
When Translucent attacks Huey.
Yeah.
And just gets completely splattered by a...
No, he didn't get splattered. Just
oh, no, he's... Yeah, no, he just got knocked down, but then they continue fighting.
Has apparently a diamond-skinned...
Yeah, so you can't, like, hurt him.
Which, by the way, quick tangent. Like, the whole plot of those next few episodes where they're, like, trying to figure out how to kill him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, can't they suffocate him?
I don't know.
Like,
no,
couldn't they gas him?
I guess they could have, like, gagged him.
I think they had a limited time frame, you know what I mean? And he's probably pretty powerful and they can't see him, so I don't know.
I just would have liked to see more than anything.
Sure. I think they probably just didn't want to take him out of the cage.
Yeah, that too.
But I was just thinking, like, because they're trying every kind of weapon, every kind of saw or something and gun, and it's not working. They're like, just maybe wrap the cage in saran wrap and wait till he dies.
Yeah, they could just not fed him or something for 3 days and be fine. Like, but I know they were under the gun.
Yeah.
This show, for anyone who is... doesn't have a clue about it. It is a biting satire of superheroes, and they basically paint almost a semi-more realistic version of what I think superheroes might be in this day and age. Like, if you're given some like godlike powers, you're probably gonna think of yourself as a god and do whatever the fuck you want.
Sure.
And that's what these quote-unquote heroes do. One point, Translucent's, because the translucent can turn invisible, he's in the fucking women's bathroom, I guess, constantly.
Yeah. I think it's a bathroom. I don't think it's specifically the women's bathroom.
Basically, it's just there.
Because there were dudes
he just hangs out
in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
He just hangs out naked in there. With the other character, Maeve, is
she's like your Wonder Woman.
All these characters are analogs
construct.
Of the
real superheroes.
They're analogs of the Justice League.
With the exception of maybe Translucent, because there's no real...
There's no real invisible person.
Sure.
Well, that doesn't matter. I think they just created him to kill him anyway for the show.
Pretty sure.
But they have, like, the generic Aquaman, the generic Superman.
Oh, is he not in the comics?
No. So, in the comics, there's no Translucent character. Okay. There's a John Jones analog.
I see.
So it's like
a shapeshifter,
or the Martian, or something like that.
Like a Martian Mindhunter.
You know, but the rest of them are in there. Black Noir and the Deep. Deep is much less of what he is in the show, which I think they shared his dickishness with Homelander from the comic book.
Yeah,
there's
isn't
a scene right
Homelander
out of the
who rapes. Oh my goodness.
So one of the things.
Fletcher's wife.
One of the things in the comic book is that Homelander, like, he's very casual about it, but he basically holds a job hostage from Starlight and is like, you can have the job if you blow me.
Yeah.
Oh.
But they changed
gave
that
to the deep.
They changed to the deep. Yeah. But in the comic book, it wasn't just Homelander either. It was like Homelander, A-Train, Black Noir.
It does not surprise me that sure. they would all sort of rape her as an initiation into...
Well, the initiation. That's the I mean, that's kind of... I don't know if it's more fucked up or less fucked up, but...
Well, like, they're just, like, it's a female character in a very male-dominated industry. Like, it's... as a woman, I expect that shit. I don't know. Sure. Like, I don't go for it, but it's just... It's one of those things. You get a lot of powerful men in a room and one woman, like, shit's going to happen and it's not going to be fun and it sucks.
But it's very telling, just Starlight's first night of, like, finally superhero, being a, yeah. being a part of her
hitting
dream.
Hitting the pinnacle of her dream.
Yeah, they abuse her in that way, yes. or at least in the deep in this case. And you know, even when she's that run-in with Maeve in the bathroom, it's like she knows. You know, she's
probably should say spoilers. We'll
throw it in there. Okay. I marked it.
Yeah, so, I mean, the superheroes, in case you haven't figured out, are bad guys. They're not even... they're bad guys,
they're
shitty people.
They do good things for money, but they're essentially... is what they're doing, because the superheroes are part of a corporation that
right.
that basically
pays the whores them
yeah.
out.
Yeah, that whores them out to like different cities to, you know, protect them. And they do that.
Sure.
But
the interesting angle here is that they're
terrible
not,
people on top of it.
Yeah. Exactly. They're not overtly bad people. But you know, the public at large thinks they're the squeaky clean mm-hmm. Justice League kind of image, you know. And yeah, that's yeah, I mean, which is all the more reason why Starlight sees this as like a dream come true until she's finally there and realizes, mm-hmm. oh my God, they're
all shitty.
Not just that, they're all shitty people. And then like even the thing, the crime that they stop is scripted for them. It's
right,
like,
yeah.
and here, okay, here's your marks, and at this time. And I get that, like it helps control.
Right,
the company vision.
Has intel on all the bad goings on, and they let them know, like, and they have following with cameras, and right. like,
and
you know, when you beat up the bad guy, say this,
right? Mm-hmm. An image is all that matters to them, because Starlight even saves a girl from being raped, and they are pissed at her because
it wasn't to script.
It wasn't to script, and the as guy far ran, as yeah. the social media that got out from it,
yeah,
just looks like her beating up someone
exactly, yeah. and so all they cared about. Was the image, not that she actually did
a good thing. Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about the flip of this show, which is the comic book. They depart a lot from the comic book. The main part of The Boys, which I found a little disappointing, is in the comic book, the boys have all been given Compound V, which gives them superpowers.
Right.
In the show, they have no superpowers, and they're trying to figure out what Compound V is. Which, you know,
well, I thought was like I thought was kind of cool that, because Chris and I had talked about this earlier, and he's like, yeah, you know, the boys had Compound V, and I was like, oh, shit.
Well,
that's not in the show yet.
That's the
and
whole point.
And I thought
point
they were building to that.
Me too. And they didn't
get really, there. At least yet. If they are still building to that, they didn't get there, which was slightly disappointing because I don't.
Well, part of the fun part of the comic book is that they can go. They can track their job. The boys is to basically check these good guys, mm-hmm. Quote unquote, and they are able to do that because they can't be hurt by them.
This is the comics.
This
not
is the comics.
The show.
Yes, I'm talking about the comics. So translating that to the show, they're like, we're the guys that check the superheroes. When they don't really do that, they just kind of
no. It feels like they're building to get there, which I think I kind of like better, because if every episode was like, hey, Homelander did some shit, let's go put him in his place. All right, guys, like that kind of
so
gets
that
a little
is,
weird.
That
and
is not the comic at all.
From what I gather,
that is not
the way it's shown in the show. Like it felt like they were re-teaming up together, because didn't Mallory originally create the team?
So yeah, even in the comic book, like they Butcher reforms the boys, and he has an interest in Huey, which is follows suit in the comic or the show. But you know, a lot of what they do in the comic is they do surveillance and they have to do the intel and they strategically do stuff. It isn't just like, oh, I can beat somebody up. That's they're smart about all of it. They're obviously have training from the CIA, because they have like surveillance and they manipulate, and it's really fucking really 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 interesting. Okay. I suggest reading it. Sure. Lisa has it at the house.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll give it a read.
It's the first 50 issues, but going back to the show, this is not what they did. The show, they don't have superpowers on the show, so they kind of skulk around the entire series, and you really kind of get more of a vibe for the quote unquote bad guys. Homelander fucking takes out a plane with no remorse.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, actually, twice. And I think about
that
it.
Plane sequence.
Oh,
that was so.
Well, I mean, Homelander's character has no remorse for any of the bad things he does.
No.
He's, I mean, he's
again,
he sees himself
like a
as a god, and there's really no one who can stop him. So,
which was so intense about that plane sequence, because you see that conscience in Maeve that she's like, how could, like, you're not even going to try to save these people.
And he's like, well, and, like, you know, I could miss, or like, we could bump and kill them all. It's like, well, why don't we try? And it's like, no, I don't feel like it.
Look, here's the I'm not relating to his character, but everything he said was 100% accurate.
Absolutely.
She's like, what do you want me to do? He's like, get in the plane. He's like, it would step on what? It's fucking air.
Yeah.
He's like, well, try, you can carry. He's like, what do you, where am I going to carry him to?
Yeah.
Like, he shoots down all of our ideas logically. Yes,
sure. Absolutely. But it was just like, well, if you're going to shoot down all my ideas logically, maybe you should have logically not shot your eyes through the console of the airplane to make everything useless.
Yeah. I mean, he's careless with his powers.
He's super careless.
And, you know, he could have prevented it, but, you know, but he doesn't. And then, you know, and then, yeah, I don't know. But I see some logic in what Maeve, because, you know, Maeve doesn't know exactly, like, he's probably never had to lift a plane like that, and, and like he says, like, it's not something that he could probably physically do, but he doesn't even attempt, like, it's not so much that he couldn't do any of that stuff, it's that, he didn't care enough to even bother trying, and obviously, in that he could have saved some people, he could have grabbed a couple people under either arm and saved at least two.
Yeah, but then they would have,
then they all would have known that he didn't try, shot the thing, like, they would have been able to say that Homelander
left them to die.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, like,
that's why they couldn't save anyone. Like, I saw that right away, and
she saw that
would have
been the right thing
to do.
To
save that kid,
it would hurt that image.
But they're not heroes like that. That's the point of this. Yeah. The Deep, all he cares about is his image. A Train is a junkie on the Compound V, and the only concern was staying on the team and being the fastest man on the planet.
Nothing altruistic. It's all just
Black. Yeah. And Black Noir. And by the way, A Train is hilariously just like a dumb fuck, like the part where he goes to the hospital, and that's when they're like, we gotta make sure he's always on script, because he's talking to like a terminal patient. He's like, what if I come in next week? He's like, I've got a week to live, or something, you know. And A-Train just keeps fucking it up.
Mm-hmm. I really love the way they handled the whole collateral damage idea with A-Train too, because collateral damage with superheroes has been something that a lot of superhero fiction has dealt with a lot in the comics. But in this case, you know, it's not so much that A-Train, you know, obviously accidentally on some level killed Huey's girlfriend.
Right. The catalyst
for
the show.
But it was his reaction to it. You know, like when he was forced to come and do the in-person apology, even then he's like, I gotta fucking do this. Yeah. It's like, Jesus Christ, man, you killed somebody.
What's
like,
even funnier about that is he's so goddamn arrogant, he's runs to Huey twice after that and
he
doesn't
recognize
him.
Right. That was my favorite thing. I'm like, you've met all of these people multiple times.
He's so arrogant about like him being like a hot shot. Like he just doesn't register in his head.
And if it was any decent person, that face would be haunting him. Like, oh my God, you're the guy. You know?
Sure. So, I mean, like they did all the interesting stuff, I think, is with the heroes. Elizabeth Shue is pretty interesting.
Yeah. She was great.
I don't
she was gross.
Directly.
Her and Homelander's relationship was just gross to me.
Yeah.
But it's like, I get what it was.
She knew,
I think it was
she
supposed
knew
to
where
be,
she,
yeah.
where her position and how to manipulate him.
Yes.
That he could very
absolutely
easily do
what she wanted as
things.
Long as he was happy.
Oh,
right. Yeah.
So, I mean, and we're skimming over Butcher and the rest of the crew, which
Dude,
are
Butcher.
They're all fun.
They're
all
Butcher's my favorite character.
Yeah, his accent is just overly fun.
It's fun, and it's Carl Urban who I think someone else probably could have done a good job with it, but I think Carl Urban just did it better.
It was perfect.
Like I didn't think he was that great of a choice. When I've seen him, like he won me over. I'm not saying he's the best choice for Butcher from the comic book, but he's pretty good.
Was Butcher always a Cockney guy?
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
Because I love that where he's like, you're a Fed. Really? You?
Like, there's even I'm a fucking fed. Like he talks very like he calls, and then maybe that's one of the things I'm glad didn't translate from the comic books. But he's very like he calls people poofs, and he uses a lot of different slurs.
Yeah.
And even at one point in the comic, he was like, "Why do you do that?"
Right.
It's like, "Well, you fucking go pro." I don't know. Yeah. And he's got the they didn't have his dog, but that was okay. Mother's Milk was a good casting choice. Frenchie Fun. The female, I think, was underused, but she was the only one that actually had powers. So, I think they're all great.
There's a lot. That I feel like they're sowing plenty of seeds for season two,
which is filming right now.
Yeah. And from what I understand, this ending that they did in season one is a complete departure from because I believe in the comics, Butcher's wife and
she's dead.
She's dead.
Yeah.
But this is like they clearly are.
Because in the comic book,
throwing a left turn. You know,
I mean, we were gonna put spoilers anyway. So the comic book, she had the son, just kind of the kid exploded from her.
I see.
So it was kind of like
she killed her.
So Homelander goes at one point in the show to find out what happened to Butcher's wife, because he's like, oh, that's right,
that's
I did
said.
Do that. And he goes and he gets the story from I want to say the top guy
at scientist. I don't know.
At the
sure.
At the corporation, and he's like, "Oh yeah, well, you know, she got really pregnant. She got pregnant, and it was like a fast pregnancy." And I'm like, "Okay, yeah. Well, superhero sperm, maybe."
Right.
And that the baby basically clawed its way out of her and killed her, and then only lived for seconds.
Right.
So basically, after that. What Butcher believed in the show up until that ending was what actually happened in the comics.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
But from I believe is it Eric Kripke, I guess, who was the showrunner?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw an interview with him where
By the way, did you get the Supernatural reference?
Was there any? Because I know he's a
Supernatural.
So in the last episode or second to last episode, I can't remember the actor's name, but Bobby was on the show. And his name was Senator Robert Singer.
Oh yeah, Singer. I think I caught like, him in it, but I didn't catch the name. That's awesome.
Oh, so he was still Bobby in the.
Yeah, he was Bobby Singer.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Same character. It was just a little.
Yeah, that's fun. I was kind of hoping like it'd be Baby or something in there.
Okay. Well, but in any case, there was an interview with Kripke where he was kind of talking about like his only indication about what we're going to see plot line wise with season two, given the left field turn that happens at the end of one, is that all this. Season one is about how, or at least in the case of Huey and Butcher, ways that they are similar, ways mm-hmm. that they have similar reasons that you know to be against
to go
the
after
supers.
These soups, yeah.
And then now with the next season, you're going to see the reasons why you're going to see fractures between them because now he had because he's been so anti super and now there's this kid who's. Both half human, half super in that mm-hmm. way, and how that is gonna fuck with his psyche.
I'll have to wait till I see it, but I feel like that they're gonna depart that much from the comic book, which made it really cool. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I really liked the season. I guess
It was good.
I just felt it was too short. Like, I feel like where they ended it was like a mid-season point.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Instead of the end, which. Or the end of a season.
Kind of cheesy. All right. I don't know. It felt a little cheesy, like dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. It's
Yeah. I mean, but they could have had that still at the end, I think, had they established that the boys were a real thing because they're kind of like not a thing yet still. There were points in there where it's just I wish they had pushed a little further for the first season. Give me two more episodes. Come on. Eight episodes? What is this bullshit? We used to get 24 and then it's 12.
We're missing
10,
a lot of
stuff.
We're missing a lot of stuff. Well, it's Amazon. So,
still. You can give me 10.
They probably didn't know. Anyway.
Still, all around it, I think it's pretty solid. I do
have some missing
issues.
A lot of stuff. We didn't even get to Baby Huey's dad is played by Simon Pegg.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Who, he's so great.
From what I understand, is who Huey was
based on.
His
when you read,
look was
when you read
off
the book,
of
you'll see his look and where he's from. He's Scottish in the comic book.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
So we didn't get to catch that. I thought Starlight was
a
really
good
character.
He does an American accent in there, right? He's not not playing Scottish.
Yeah. Oh no, he's American. Yeah. He's American.
Well, yeah.
Brian.
Yeah. Also,
he's
Simon
from
Pegg
America.
Is English. He's not.
That's how he sounds.
We know him as Scotty, but you know, but actually, no actor who's played Scotty has been Scottish. James Doohan was Canadian.
There's that we didn't get to touch on. Fuck, what are some of the other things?
I don't know. I don't know what other points you wanted. That superheroes are made, not.
Well,
because the nature of compound.
Oh, like Haley Joel Osment. I thought the sub character with him was pretty.
I also like that Homelander created the supervillains, so they would because the whole point of the season was, or at least for the corporation, the point of that the season was to get a contract. To basically become like the army for America,
a branch of
the because that's the political angle that they're going with all this is that they're trying to get military contracts and get get the boy or get the soups to be actually fighting for
America. It all comes down to money. You got any more last points? Because we got to move on.
My only concerns with it is that I've really felt like for being subvertive of typical kind of superhero comics, there's a lot of fridging going on. There's a lot of motivating male characters by mutilating and killing off female characters.
Well, that's life, man. No, sucks, but
it's just the one. Character
well,
and then
Butcher they reversed that
but Butcher they reversed but I kind of like that Homelander kills his Elizabeth Shue's character just because it was like his one weakness and kind of gave her a chance to sort of like make up for it.
Which is almost like his motivation for killing her, I feel like, because he saw, like, because I think he legitimately cares about her.
Yes.
Well, he's fucked up. I think he has a weird relationship. Well,
they have a weird mother-sonish relationship, and she has a son, and he is so jealous of that kid. Yeah. Like, that kid was not making the season.
Yeah.
But I liked that I liked that he was the one ultimately to kill her, and that was like, you are my one and only weakness, and
I love,
and you're still lying to me. You know, because
we were like, no lies. You lied to me.
It was like, well, you're still lying to me, because that they were lying to each other the whole
fucking
time.
And more the point, he wasn't going to let Butcher get the best of him.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's like, you're still lying to me, and you're my weakness, and it's not changing. So, bye.
I do like pop death. If you read the comic book, it's all like that.
Okay.
So it's pretty bad all the way around for almost a lot of the characters.
Yeah.
So
a lot of fucked up characters. Even the Deep, like, because you hate the Deep from the get go because of what he does to Starlight. Yeah. But then also, like, it kind of humanizes him a little bit.
When he gets fin raped.
I don't think it didn't humanize him for me. I was like, yeah, that's right, you piece of shit. You deserve that.
No, I still hate him.
It didn't change any of that for me. It was kind of the hope that maybe he'll see. What he did was so wrong.
He's a hypocrite in that way.
Yeah, you know? I don't expect him to get that sort of understand why what happened to him was wrong and why what he's doing is wrong.
Absolutely.
I don't expect him to get that.
They put his place in a really weird place. Anyway, go see the Boys.
Because most of we all Prime, like it. Right?
I don't know too many people that didn't, except for Enrique. All right.
So we're going back.
Wake up.
All right. So we're moving right along to another big doozy of a news story.
Did you mark that time, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, all right. Mark that time.
Okay. we have another big doozy of a news story that's happened over this last week. Basically, it first broke on Star Wars News Net, which is a Star Wars rumor site that has been very, very reliable with their scoops. But they dropped the news that after all the rumors of Obi-Wan potentially being spun off into being a spin-off Star Wars film, and then and then the potential of it becoming a Disney Plus series, they outright said that Ewan McGregor has signed on to reprise his role as Obi-Wan Kenobi in a Disney Plus series. And at first, people were like, "Okay, that's how many times have I been hearing this rumor?"
Yeah.
But then more and more, it started getting traction. Well, Deadline reported.
Deadline reported is like, it's pretty much a done deal. Wait for D23 to come out, and they're gonna announce.
Yeah,
it.
Hollywood Reporter confirmed it as well. Yeah. Like it's basically, once the trades are all saying it, it's pretty much good and done. But
I wait till a reputable site says it. I mean, not that Star Wars has got a lot of stuff wrong. Newsnet. They've gotten a couple things wrong. They've gotten some big ones right. Sure. So like, they got some traction.
Yeah, yeah. And especially by the time that all the trades were reporting it, it seemed to corroborate that news. And since all of them were saying it, everyone's eyes were turned on Lucasfilm, and not a peep from Lucasfilm.
Or Disney.
Still, this dropped like last Thursday or something. It's been almost a week.
It's been
almost
1 week.
Yeah, which is and also not a peep from Ewan McGregor either.
Nope.
I wouldn't be surprised if Disney. If for one thing, I think we're all accepting that this is probably true.
Yeah.
And that Disney may well have told him, like, dude, just go off and hide in the desert for a little while.
So the reports
it'll help you get into character.
The reports I read that they are in love with the Mandalorian.
Mm.
Like, apparently it is amazing.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we need some more Star Wars shows. And this is the one that I think is naturally lends to being a fucking series.
Sure.
Because, like, if you give me a movie of Obi-Wan, it's just not going to feel enough to me. I think there is a whole series with Obi-Wan.
And there's a lot of legends, like stuff with oh my goodness, I'm blanking on her name, but Jude Watson, I think, who initially did the Obi-Wan young adult novels with him on Tatooine, and then John Jackson Miller did his Kenobi book, which I still have not read, but everyone I know who's read it has said, like, oh my god, this should be the series, and not to mention, you know, Kenobi, like or the whole notion of Ewan McGregor coming back as Obi-Wan between 3 and 4 has been for years the most requested, spin-off movie. They're like, you give a Solo, but you don't like.
Yeah.
And Ewan McGregor, I love how, like, every time he's done press stuff over the last like 5-6 odd years, he's been asked about that. I remember he was promoting Christopher Robin, and like he was on The View, and they're asking him, "Oh, we keep hearing about the potential of you playing Obi-Wan again." And I loved his answer. He's just like, "Look, I've answered that question so often that yes, I would love to come back and do it. But I've answered that question so often, I feel like I'm shilling for work, and I'm not." You know? But at this point, it sounds like it looks like it's set in stone. And given the fact that D23 is this weekend, the Disney Plus panel is this Friday, 2 days from us recording this. Mm. So
by the time we hopefully get this out by Friday, if we're lucky,
yeah,
you might just already be hearing about this.
It's a good chance that this is definitely true, and yeah, that Disney and Lucasfilm have just been keeping silent just because they really want to keep that secret for that panel. But the secret's out. It's out.
Mm-hmm. I think this is the big one, some of the bigger stuff to come out of the D23. I think I can't, like, there's nothing else that I don't think they have up their sleeve except some Disneyland news. That's why I asked you if you got to the attractions panel.
If they might want to also drop some other casting news for Obi-Wan as well, because, you know, I'm curious if this will involve the Lars, and if so, I would love to see Joel Edgerton and Bonnie Peace come back as Owen and Beru.
I think it'll probably be off planet. Personally,
off planet, really?
Oh, before Tatooine,
he's gonna leave Luke.
I think he'll have an adventure. Adventures. Sure.
I mean, cool.
Someone's, because I also read a report that like a lot of the stuff they tried to set up in Solo was going to lend to somewhere in Obi-Wan with
Darth Maul being introduced.
Yes, mm-hmm. The gangsters and possibly the Hutts stuff like that.
Crimson Dawn.
And that would have led to adventures.
Good God, if we see Ewan McGregor squaring off against Ray Park again, like in the basically they could. I mean, we saw that canonized officially in Rebels,
right?
And I would honestly be perfectly fine with them doing a live action version.
Well, that's what they said. Like, they think Darth Maul, they could go fight Darth Maul somewhere and have an interaction. And another one I read was
do a live action
Ahsoka
version of that.
Yeah. Like Ahsoka makes 100% sense, or even some of the Ghost crew.
If they could actually Eckstein to play her, oh my God!
Rosario Dawson also wants that part.
I kind of want to see Rosario play that. Like, that'd be awesome. I know Ashley was so a big part of it and everything.
Yeah,
but
she's
the voice. She is Ahsoka, but it's just like that'd be just kind of cool. Like,
I love
Rosario Dawson. She'd
play
amazing.
A fucking Hutt, and I would be like, yeah, Rosario, that'd be awesome. I don't give a fuck. But yeah, this. So we'll hopefully hear more out of D23. I mean, there's a couple of things I know that are up the sleeve. Nothing. It's all such blue sky stuff that I'm not sure. I've heard stuff, crazy stuff as far as a third gate it did in Anaheim, which I'm like, I don't think that's going to happen.
What?
A third gate in Anaheim, just to surprise. A third gate, like another park in
Anaheim.
Oh, another park. Okay.
For what they'd be announcing at the parks, the parks panel.
Right.
Because I think that's Sunday.
And they're probably going to correct a lot of what they promised and didn't deliver in Galaxy's Edge, I think.
Here.
At least that's what I think will be part of the announcement.
And more news about Rise of the Resistance, I'm sure, since that's still pending. So.
Well, they're trying to, I can tell you right now, they're trying to get it out in time for the holidays, but it's looking pretty not good.
Well, they already said that they're going to release it open in January now.
Oh, they pushed it back?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know they were trying to get for the early winter, like the Christmas time.
Yeah, I think
they were
trying to, but then they
pushed
it back to January.
But that is not working out at all.
My friend Jim was very disappointed because he already, planned his Disneyland trip for this December when he flies in to see the Rise of Skywalker as well. But obviously the Rise.
Still ride the Falcon, I guess, and go on Star Tours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's still everything else in Galaxy's Edge.
Like what?
Like Doc Ondar's.
You could build a lightsaber.
Build
a droid.
$20 for a drink. Something like that.
It's an
experience, Chris.
I'm going
one
back
of the
on
main
Sunday.
Reasons I am not, still not excited. They don't have the other ride. Sure. They only have one ride that's 20 minute wait. They have none of the drone
it's
or
bad about
or,
a 20 minute wait at Disney.
And that's not the bad thing. It's just like that doesn't instill my hope. You know what I mean?
I'm sure I will love it. I cannot wait to go back. I'm going back.
But
on
so
Sunday.
Much of what they promised never came through.
Not
they
yet.
Never had that. It was supposed to go be open with the park.
But the immersion of everything,
is half of what they promised. There's no. Are there any droids walking around?
No.
The drones.
Just
no.
In people's backpacks.
Kylo Ren and stormtroopers and Rey and Chewbacca.
That's another thing they said they might correct.
By Marotti and you can.
They're like we might roll it back. Like they think they fucked up by going with the new movies.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a lot of the I don't know. I mean, I've heard a lot of.
I've heard that go to from the sites, another source.
Go
too.
To the Disney the whatchamacallit sites, yeah. And you'll see them. A lot of there's a lot of chatter about that. I don't think they're gonna course correct personally. I think that they've already they put it there. They're not gonna.
Yeah, I think they should just have confidence in their own films. There's obviously plenty of haters of that era, you know. But
it's not haters though. It's attendance. It's
well, it's
crowd
more
feedback.
People don't. They thought they wanted it, but they didn't quite want
that. I think
this
is just like part of that is the Carmageddon effect. There are so many people who have long since outright said, "I am so excited about that, but I'm not going to go for a year."
Yeah,
you know, and the prices were really high.
It's probably a point of that
prices were really high also to alleviate some of the crowding. And look,
it worked.
It's working.
But again, it's you know guest feedback and it's attendance. Like you can't get any clearer than that.
I don't know. As somebody who fucking loved it and can't wait to go back.
That's the thing. I'm not saying it's shit, but I mean, people are disappointed from what they promised and what they got. I mean, having one ride in the Star Wars land, that's kind of that.
I think that was also part of the plan to stagger it because they were also just afraid of how insane it would be initially.
Crowds.
But also at the same time, like you kind of hinted at, Rise of the Resistance apparently is also being pushed back because they're having technical issues.
Well, part of the problem too is like if it goes down, it'll be down for hours during the day.
Yeah,
hours.
That one's a really interesting one because that one's like unlike the Smuggler's Run, which is like you know just a cockpit ride. And there's a whole bunch of them, and if you go through the single rider's line, you can get through pretty quickly. Sure. Rise of the Resistance sounds like a total interactive thing where you get off on your feet and stuff.
Do
like
you
that.
Tell you?
So, yeah.
Well, I mean,
there's different parts to it. If I'm not mistaken,
there's different parts.
Sure. Yeah, but there's like ride parts and there's like
you,
I mean
there's ride parts. You get out of the ride, you get back on.
Yeah, and you like
get
fight
the
stormtroopers
cell.
And shit. And
yeah. No, you don't really. Well, you don't. No.
Okay. Well,
I don't know how much you want me to tell you.
I mean, I'd rather.
We'll save it for another episode. Yeah, sure. Because we're already over on time, and I could definitely take at least 30, 40 minutes. Look, I'm not knocking Galaxy's Edge, but they don't have enough for me to be like, I got to get there.
It's fine. Just wait till Rise of the Resistance is open.
And then I'll have to wait for a year after that, so it's not so busy. It's a joke, Brian. Joke. It's a joke. We got to move on. Fuck. What was the...
Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan. I'm excited because basically, by the time you're hearing this, it's probably going to be confirmed.
We got to cut some stuff, so I'm going to go through it as quickly as I can with the... it might just take the next two. Maybe the next three. Sorry. Well, no, those are Enrique's ones. I'm gonna get, you can have Krypton. All right.
Okay. Make up your mind, man.
Master of the Universe. Kevin Smith, for a long time, has been hinting that he has a very popular, beloved series from the 80s, and we were just like, what could he possibly have? Yeah. It's fucking Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah, under Netflix, right?
Under Netflix, of course, because Netflix has
the... they've got She-Ra.
They got She-Ra, and now they have this one. It's called He-Man Revelations, which I guess takes place in the final
Matrix.
Battles, or after the final battles.
Sorry.
Something?
Yeah, he said like he was basically continuing the story from the 80s.
Oh, okay.
So this is the original He-Man basically continuing
that's
on.
Version that's of what I love the most about the story is that basically this is that this is considered a continuation of that series. And frankly, Netflix has been doing that a lot lately with the because now they got the they're continuing Rock
with
Modern Life
Invader
Zim. Yeah,
so I didn't know. I was like, no, they haven't, Brian. But those are two examples I have. Yeah. No,
and Rocko was just okay. And Invader
they
Zim
redid
was pretty
Voltron.
Good.
Oh, they already come out with Rocko. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know you.
I watched them both.
Voltron was pretty amazing. She-Ra's amazing. Mm. They're doing some good stuff. There was a Guillermo del Toro one that I didn't get to finish, but we liked that one a lot.
The troll one. Yeah.
That was
really
good. Sequel series,
I liked that
three
one.
Below, I believe, right?
I didn't get to that one, but yes. They're doing some good stuff, but with Kevin Smith doing Masters of the Universe, like, I don't know, he was probably a teenager, I think, when He-Man was around. Maybe he watched it, maybe he didn't, I don't know. But I'm happy. Like, this is one of those things I'm like, cool, Kevin Smith and He-Man, like, that sounds like it could be cool.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So, that was the news at the PowerCon this weekend. This weekend? PowerCon, yeah.
Yeah.
I keep meaning to go to that, just haven't been able to do it. All right. Let's move on. Enrique?
Krypton, unfortunately, has been canceled after two seasons, and the Lobo spinoff is also not moving forward on TV.
So, Sci-Fi is notorious at this point, which...
For canceling.
I don't know how they keep the series, or the station afloat, because they have really good shows, and they're like... Okay, we're done.
And they're always canceling them largely because of budget.
Well, they're fucking Sci-Fi channel.
Yeah.
What do you... Like, Sci-Fi shows are notoriously the highest budget shows you could do on television because of their craziness of the sets and the effects. Like,
dude, back when they had Battlestar, and Battlestar was getting all the accolades critically, commercially, like it was huge. And even then, the whole run of the show, they were like threatening to shut it down.
Well, I think that almost bankrupted the channel. I think that's when they had to rebrand and branch out to more than just science fiction. That's why they renamed sci-fi with the
S-Y-F-Y.
And they branched out to other, like, you know, Sharktopus and shit like it, other stuff. Yeah. But, you know, they have a lot of good shows. I loved Zombie Nation. It was the action part of basically watching Walking Dead, but it was funny. It was also funny.
The Expanse basically canceled because of budget, right?
By the end of that show, like, it was looking like one of the best sci-fi shows on television. It probably looked the best. But, you know, they continued on Amazon, and it's still fucking amazing.
Yeah, Amazon's got money.
Magicians is a really good show. I mean, they have good shows that they keep just being like, but I understand, like, they're hard to produce, and they're not making a good amount of money. I think it's two and done is the joke at sci-fi. So I don't know.
Sharknado.
So they have
those are movies. Those are
this weekend. Yeah, it was like Land Shark and Sharktopus versus Toxic Pedo or something. I don't know. They have like these horrible.
I saw this one recent commercial where it's basically zombie
Tidal wave.
I'm like, what?
With Ian Ziering again.
Got Tara Reid.
Tara Reid and Ian Ziering again.
Yeah.
From Sharknado.
Yeah. So I'm happy that they both like have like this resurgence in B movies.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of fun.
And the B movies, because they're B movies, they can go really cheap on the effects and nobody cares.
Yeah. No.
Yes.
Like, I like the first two Sharknados. They were very stupid and very funny. I didn't watch any more episodes.
Yeah.
But those shows are funny. You know, damn you, Sharktopus. Famous line of, what's that? Ralph Garman. He was famous in that movie and got killed. He was like, they always made fun of him. Like, that was his big line. Nice. Damn you, Sharktopus. Anyway, poor Krypton. Let's move on.
Okay. From the Wolverine, the Long Night podcast, we're getting details about the Marvels. You okay?
Chris got hot mic here.
Chris is being electrocuted right now as we speak.
Fucking.
Casting is Method Man and Ethan Peck, as well as
Ethan Peck. He's Spock.
Yes.
So the news isn't. So, I mean, I flipped out when I'm like, oh shit, Method Man's gonna be a Benja.
Ben Ulrich.
Ulrich. Which was, you know, he was a reporter in a Daredevil.
One of the big staple human characters of the Marvelverse.
So it's just that we were just talking about how cool Marvels is, and then to find out they're making a Marvels podcast.
We were just talking about Kirby Sake and Alex Ross famously. Oh my god, it's just incredible. Which is also a little strange, given that, you know, I think it's most of what it's known for are its incredible artwork, and this is a podcast.
Well, it's an amazing
story. Is so solid.
It's an amazing story, but had they not had Alex Ross, I think it might have been just one of those like, oh, you should read this. It's cool.
Yeah.
But the two was just like peanut butter and fucking chocolate.
Jelly.
Yeah.
Weird. You said jelly, I said chocolate. Amazing stuff. I think it comes out next year, but fuck, I can't wait.
Solid cast, too. Yeah, obviously with Anna Sophia Robb's in there, I think, too. And so, I mean, it's just
good stuff.
Yeah.
We got to keep moving, though. We're already out of time. I was going to throw in the Apex. There was some Apex news where one of the developers basically didn't call directly some fellow fans of the community asshats, but he's like, I can remember a time before the fans were complete asshats to developers, which I was like,
wow. Thank you.
I think it's a totally justified comment because people were being dicks about whatever they. Oh, that's what it was. They
were giving
stupidly.
Death threats.
Yeah, well, they
like, I get that part, like the death threat stuff. Like, okay, kill me, okay. Great.
Right.
You still don't get your game.
So for anyone
dumbass.
Who doesn't know, Apex is a free to play game that you can pay, and their new event, the Crown event, was like I think Lisa was like $170 they estimated to get all
basically
$200. Yes,
it was about $200 to get all the skins and
just to get
goodies.
all the goodies from the season.
And people were like, they bitched. I think it is a high price, but if you're playing a free-to-play game, like, then don't buy it. Don't bitch about something that you don't have to buy. That's my thing.
Well,
people bitched about it, and they were really kind of dicks to some of the developers, and the guy was like, look, I can remember a time before the fans were – the community was not a bunch of asshats or jerks to the developers. I think that's a fine comment. The thing of what he got in trouble was he called somebody a dick.
But, yeah. Oh, like he called someone out and was like, you are a dick?
Well,
because
someone was like, well, I remember when developers didn't – rape you for like just some obnoxious comment where I would have been like, yeah, you're being a dick.
But I totally understand. Like the thing is, like by all means, they were fans who were crossing the line. Yeah. They shouldn't have. But at the same time, there's a professionalism expected from the people who are responding on behalf of the company, and and it doesn't make it okay if you're if people are being dicks to you for you to be. To throw that right back at them, you know, and there was they were using some vulgar language, obviously not as vulgar, but they were, and so I totally understand why this has been a bit of a dumpster fire, I guess, for them, and
yeah, kind of, it's just it's free to play, you know. Oh, you know that coming into it, yeah, but still, like,
what's the butt of that? It's free to play. What do you?
It's free to play, but you're asking, like, for me to, in a sense, complete part of the game.
You're not completing it though.
You're asking me to pay almost $200. That's
on cosmetics.
That's somewhat ridiculous. Like I get it's free to play. These are things I don't have to buy. They're just cosmetic. But at the same time, you know, I can play this event and get nothing. And you know, woohoo! What do I have to show for this? Like
you have a game, a free game.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like what are you bitching about if you got a free game? I mean, I'm not looking at you.
No,
like, I mean, I'm looking at you, but I'm not like you're trying to play devil's advocate. But like, it's a free game. Like,
it's a free game, yeah. But you're giving me content, whether it's cosmetic or not. There is content available for me, and there's the way for me to get it is to pay, and it's an exorbitant amount. If it was a closer to like 60 or 100, I'd be like, all right, guys, like, come on, like, that's
still too high.
I think that's still too high, but at least at that point, I'm like, we're willing to pay that amount of money for a AAA game.
Well, they
and this, granted, is not a AAA game.
Yeah.
But
I think it is considered a AAA game now. I think it was when it was released.
Really?
I think so. Well, it could have been AAA because
it's not.
I
don't think it's a AAA.
As much, but.
Yeah. Content-wise.
You say it all the time. Like, if you don't like it, I don't pay for it.
Yeah.
You say it all the time. It's just cosmetics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it is. And it's. I have not paid into the game at all yet. And
no,
it's fun. I have a great time playing it, but I don't.
I mean, you don't buy anything, though. You barely buy it from Overwatch, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Have
you bought
not.
Something from
No.
Okay,
so at least they're cosmetics. I mean, it's almost one of the things that people really threw against EA when the Battlefront 2 initially rolled out. They're like, dude, I get if it costs all these credits to get skins and stuff like that, not to unlock major characters.
That was different, though. That was characters to unlock. Yeah, exactly. This is just skins. Yeah, well, I mean, there are characters you can unlock, but they're not asking.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not quite in that same
They're not asking $170, yes. But
sure.
It could end up being that.
It may still be unreasonable, but at least it's nothing that prevents you from regular gameplay, you know?
Right? Yeah. That's the thing. Like, this doesn't. You don't get any advantage.
You can still play it.
Like, there's no advantage to getting this, so it's like it doesn't change the gameplay.
Yeah.
Actually, I'd say it's a slight disadvantage because those skins are so easy to see that you're kind of harder to see.
Some are kind of obnoxious. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of
funny. I don't want to spend this much time on Apex. We got to keep moving.
This last little story. It's almost a non-story, but
it's a non-story now.
Sure, but like the Russo brothers did a quick Wired video where they're answering kind of Twitter questions.
Right.
And there was a very interesting little answer from Joe Russo on one of the answers that got the internet in a tizzy.
It wasn't an answer, right? He would just kind of volunteer this information.
Well, somebody
like,
was asking particularly about like the presence of the Nova Corps in Avengers,
which
is basically non-existent.
Right.
And he's like, well, if you look in the background there in that shot of thousands of people in the portal scene when they all show up to fight Thanos, you can see somewhere in the back where is you can see Richard Rider.
Right.
Who famously is Nova. And plenty of people went nitpicking in there trying to see like, wait, where is it in there?
And I saw some screenshots. I'm like, oh shit, there he is. There's his gold helmet. Oh my God.
Well, but at the same time, like it was a lot of that kind of like, you know, yeah. I mean, the people weren't quite sure if he was serious. Or
no, everyone thought he was serious. This wasn't like, he's joking.
Everyone thought he was serious.
Everyone thought he was 100%.
He didn't say it in an obviously joking way.
Nope.
But he did eventually come out and say, oh, I was joking.
It was a response because everyone thought he was serious.
Sure.
They went crazy looking for it,
and
bombarding him. And they couldn't find it. And he's like, guys,
But to be fair, at the same time, part of the reason why people, I think, might thought he was serious, well, for one thing, he said it in a very straight face. Right? And then, and also, you know, Kevin Feige has gone on record a couple of times saying that, you know,
Nova has been
kicked around for a while. Actually, Feige confirmed in an interview that Nova was in an early draft of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, it also made sense. Like, it was 5 years later after Nova Corps was destroyed, and, like, there was plenty of time for Nova to become a hero.
Yeah.
So it was just like one of those true lies that you're like,
sure,
yeah, this is, That's probably a check out. Yeah.
Yeah. But also
given Gold helmet right there. Yeah, that's got to be him.
Sure. But also given the events of Infinity War and Endgame, it seems like perfect setup to set up Nova for potentially for Phase 4 or 5 or something, considering that off-screen Thanos, we never see exactly how he gets the Power Stone, but we assume he decimated Xanos. Well, they even say he decimated
Xanos.
They said it.
I think he literally said, I destroyed Xanos.
Right. It obviously happened all off screen. Right. And that could be the perfect setup for a Nova movie.
I agree. I see a lot of arguments saying, like, what is the point of Nova if we have Captain Marvel? Because his powers are kind of
similar. So, yeah.
Sure.
He has, this cosmic power that all the Nova Corps pulled together, and he's been given, the last of their. You fly through space, shoot laser blasts, strength, stuff like that.
He doesn't have to have his own movie. I would love to see him as a side character in Captain Marvel 2 or something.
Agreed.
Yeah. And show a flashback of what happened on Xandar and, see him killing all the Nova Corps, basically.
Richard Ryder got his power from, what's his name, who died in the first fucking Guardians movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, they could change that.
What's his name? Fucking Peter.
Pumpkin Eater.
Fucking
Parker.
The guy is like, what a bunch of a-holes.
Oh, yeah.
Peter Schlocker Rapala.
Sure. That sounds right.
Like Brian said, they could change it. They could change the origin story. I mean, they changed the origin story for
Star-Lord.
Star-Lord, thank you.
Yeah.
Why not, right?
I don't think anyone was really crying foul about that.
I was.
All the Richard Ryder fans.
I will say that Nova has always had a higher presence than Star-Lord in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Maybe not anymore because... Anyway, that was a lot of Geek Pop. Fuck, we went over. I'm sorry. You're welcome for the extra Geek Pop. We've supplied you this week. Okay. Anything else to add, guys? No? Go see the boys. That was Geek Pop for this week. I'm Big Chris.
Lisa.
Brian.
Eric.
And your geek has just been popped.